Okay, tonight is the 6th of January, the evening of, and this Mark would like to sing 439 in the old school hymnal, and it's entitled Stand By Me, and I'm going to have Mark... I'm going to have Mark lead that chorus, 439. Mark, you want to try not to go too low on it, okay?
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest winds and waters, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. When the host of hell assail and my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. When I do the best I can, and my friends misunderstand, thou who knowest all about me, stand by me. In the midst of persecution, stand by me. In the midst of persecution, stand by me. When my foes in battle array undertake to stop my way, thou who savest Paul and Silas, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When my life becomes a burden and I'm merry and chilly Jordan, O thou lily of the valley, stand by me.
Okay, Rosette would like to sing Psalm 139C on page
63. Thy thoughts of God to me are near. How great their sum they more. In number than the sand to me, when I awake, I'm still with thee. The wicked thou wilt slay, O God, depart from me, ye men of blood. They speak of thee in words profane, the foes who take thy name in vain. Do not I hate thy foes, O Lord, and thy assailants all aboard. I truly hate all foes of thine. I count them enemies of mine. Search me, O God, my heart discern, and try me every thought to learn, and see if any sin holds sway, lead in the everlasting way.
Well, why don't we end this with 242, this part of the service, 242, and if Almighty King, whose wondrous hand supports the weight of sea and land, whose grace is such a boundless store, no heart shall break that sighs for more. Thy providence supplies my food, and 'tis thy blessings makes it good. My soul is nourished by thy word. Let soul and body praise the Lord. My streams of outward comfort came from Him who built this earthly frame. Whate'er I want, His bounty gives, by whom my soul forever lives. Either His hand preserves from pain, or if I feel it, heals again. From Satan's malice shields my breast, or overrules it for the rest. Forgive the song that falls so low beneath the gratitude I owe. It means thy praise, however poor, an angel's song could do no more. Mark, you want to lead us in that?
Almighty King, whose wondrous hand supports the weight of sea and land, whose grace is such a boundless store, no heart shall break that sighs forlorn. Thy providence supplies my food, and 'tis thy blessings makes it good. My soul is nourished by thy word. Let soul and body praise the Lord. My streams of outward comfort came from Him who built this earthly frame. Whate'er I want, His bounty gives, by whom my soul forever lives. Either His hand preserves from pain, or if I feel it, heals again. From Satan's malice shields my breast, or overrules it for the rest. Forgive the song that falls so low beneath the gratitude I owe. It means thy praise, however poor, an angel's song can do no more.
Dear Lord, we pray you'd be with us tonight during this service. We pray that you would lead and guide and direct everything that's said. We know that you will. We pray that you would open your word to us and reveal yourself to us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, there's been so many different messages given on the church and the members of the church and the gifts of the church and the people in the church. And we have so many different sects, S-E-C-T-S, denominations, and, you know, it just baffles the mind when you think about all the different churches out there. But I want to look at a passage in the 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tonight. And I want to start with verse 3. Now, there's a lot of people that will tell you that this chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, is the gospel. And it is the only thing you have to know the gospel. But that is not true. That is not true. It is part of the gospel. It talks about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. In fact, I had a fellow tell me one time that all's you need to know is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Okay. And specifically verses 3 through 9. That's where it speaks of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Now, we obviously subscribe to that, but what is it not talking about in that passage? The reason the Arminians can lay hold on this passage is because I have yet to meet an Arminian who doesn't believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But they believe that the free will is what causes them to believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. This particular passage doesn't speak of predestination or election or adoption, does it? And so this particular gentleman, I told him, I subscribe to that passage in the 1 Corinthians 15. But I said, I believe that a more complete gospel is presented in Romans 8. Okay? Because it's the golden chain of salvation. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, and whom he predestinated, he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and those he justified, he also glorified. And at that time, almost at that juncture, this guy got mad and hung up on me, okay? And he later said he didn't want to have any further communication with me. Just because I was upholding the golden chain of salvation, and also another thing that made him angry was that he was a hyper-dispensationalist, and he believed that all the Jews, he had a relative, I believe it was his wife, who was Jewish, and he believed that all the Jews were God's chosen people. So he had a misunderstanding of Israel, spiritual Israel. And so I tried to go over that with him, and he went into a tirade. But I want to look at this tonight, because I do concur with everything in this. And this also has some other good instruction for us, not just in those particular verses. He says, I'm starting in verse 3. I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. And that's all of the Scriptures. Not just part of the Scriptures. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. What's the Scriptures say? The Scriptures say he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. That's according to the Scriptures. The Scriptures say that he was slain from the foundation of the world. That's according to the Scriptures. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. What about the Scripture that says all that the Father has given me will come to me, and all that come to me I will in no wise cast out? Verse 4, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There's a lot of people that try to add to that passage right there, that he rose again the third day. Okay, and I'm not going to get into all the sunrise services and everything else that goes along with this pagan Ishtar, but you might want to study that sometime. It says he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Apostle Paul says that he saw Christ. You know, when Christ revealed himself to the Apostle Paul, when he was on the way to Damascus, I imagine, I have no proof of this, but, you know, I have a feeling that right after he saw Christ is when he was struck with blindness. But anyway, he says that, last of all, he was seen of me, is what he said. I am the least of the apostles, and that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. I can really relate to that passage of scripture. You know, I've had more people try to lamb blast me. You know, I just recently got an email from an Arminian, and he said in the email that you can preach 1,000 sermons, but if you don't live according to your messages aren't any good. Right? Well, I don't know anyone that can live according to their messages. Okay, unless you're an Arminian. And then you can live to court, because Arminians believe that their free will is what saves them. That's idolatry. But I can really relate to this verse. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace was bestowed upon me. Not in vain. You know? But the grace of God which was with me. And I can say that. Last 11 years, while doing all these messages on sermon audio, God's grace has been with me through the whole thing. You know? And so people can put me down for having, you know, 1,500 messages on sermon audio all they want to. You know, I couldn't have done one sermon on sermon audio had it not been for the grace of God. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so we ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? And we know that that was what the Sadducees upheld, that there was no resurrection. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, ye are yet in your sins. Now, basically these people were not only saying that Christ had not risen from the dead, but they were calling Paul a liar. That he had seen Christ, because the only way Paul could have seen Christ is if Christ had raised from the dead. And he said that in verse 8, that he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. He said that he saw Christ. Then he says, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Okay, so really what he's saying is all those who had died, you know, are with Christ. He's upholding the resurrection. He says, for since by man, verse 21, came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Whereas in Adam all die. The Arminians totally deny that, don't they? For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Well, he says in verse 25, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. Well, now, the reason that I wanted to go over this is that as you go on through this 15th chapter, Paul starts talking about the struggles that he went through as a minister of the gospel. And he even said that he had fought with the beasts at Ephesus. And, you know, he goes into a lot of different things here. I'm not going to go into all the depths of this, but there's a lot of people that don't understand, you know, they want to get off on these sidetracks. And Paul, in one verse, you know, very balanced, in a balanced way, deals with things that we don't understand. In verse 40, he says, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. The glory of the one celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is the earth earthy, the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are also they that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on the incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to go into a long rendition of that. I think it's self-explanatory. There's an earthly body, and there's a spiritual body. And this earthly body is not going to be in heaven. Okay? So if you think this earthly body is going to be in heaven, you're wrong. It's not. This earthly body is going to decay from dust to dust. But we are going to get a glorified body, a spiritual body. That's why we will never experience any pain, any suffering, any sorrow, because we will be living in a place with glorified bodies where there's no curse. Now, the reason I wanted to go into this is because there's a lot of people that are trying to say, well, you know, God's just going to renew our physical bodies. He's going to rejuvenate our physical bodies. All of this stuff. No. You are not going to have a physical body in heaven, my friend. You're going to have a spiritual body. You know, the physical tabernacle that you're now in is going to return to dust. And you know what? I can prove that. You go out to any cemetery and dig somebody's body up that's been there for a while, and you can see what's happening to it. Scripture tells us that corruption, okay, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It says this corruption must put on incorruption. And so that's one of the things that the Arminians don't have any problem with believing in the resurrection. They don't have any problem with believing the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. But they have big problems about believing that God chose the Apostle Paul from the foundation of the world. They have a big problem with believing the Apostle Paul's writings in Romans 8 and Romans 9 and Romans 11. Okay. And so tonight, I just wanted to cover that a little bit. I know I did a broad sweep. But if you think that your body is going to just get a little bit of a tweak, and God's just going to tweak it a little bit, you know, maybe give you an oil change or something, maybe change your air filter, whatever. Just going to go in for a 100,000-mile checkup or something like that. It's not going to happen, friend. If you're in Christ, this corruption is going to put on incorruption, and you're going to get a brand new body. And I'm looking forward to that. I don't want this body, this tabernacle I'm currently in. I don't want it. Okay. I'm looking forward to getting rid of it. Okay. Do we have a final selection? Okay. 170 in the old school hymnal.
I would see Jesus when the flowers of glory adorn my way, when sunshine and when hope surround my path from day to day, when friends I cherish most are near, hearts encircle mine. Then, Father, would I turn from all and lean alone on Thine? To those who know the Lord I speak is my beloved near. The bridegroom of my soul I seek, oh, when will He appear? Though once a man of grief and shame, yet now he fills a throne and bears the greatest, sweetest name that earth has ever known.
Grace flies before and love attends its steps where'er he goes. Though none can see him but his friends, and they were once his foes. He speaks obedient to his call, our warm affections move. Did he but shine a light on all, and all alike would love, then love in every heart would reign, and war would cease to roar, and cruel and bloodthirsty men would thirst for blood no more. Such Jesus is, and such his grace, so may he shine on you. And tell him when you see his face, I long to see him too.
Well, I want to remind everybody that we're going to be going up to Joplin tomorrow for service, and then we'll probably be having a service tomorrow night here, the Lord being in the matter. And then Monday night, we're planning on having a talk show. And the topic I've sent it out to everyone is Christ exalted and man dethroned. So, look forward to having that on Monday night at 6 o'clock. God bless.